Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we have the continuation of the Oh My God series from The Drunken Cyclist, a blog on WordPress. And here is episode 42, Leaving Champagne. In the previous episode, number 41, I learned that Paul had set his room on fire trying to dry his shirt with the hairdryer. When he found the bathroom ablaze, he extinguished the fire with a handheld shower head, but that resulted in a flooded bathroom floor. Although I would have to figure out a way to alert the hotel staff of the debacle, the incident did serve to rid me of another headache. Maggie, who had been naked in my bed, had disappeared by the time I had returned to my room to change for dinner. I got dressed quickly, briefly lamenting on how wrinkled my dress shirt had become after several weeks in a suitcase. I briefly pondered using the iron in the room, but given the recent chain of events, I was pretty certain that I would absentmindedly leave it plugged in turn start another fire. I opted instead for the irreverent, unkempt look, which I rock from time to time. It was the last night of the trip, and the last time I would see two-thirds of the group. Paul, Cece, Anne, and Ellen would be leaving in the morning. Luckily, I would still have Maggie and Oh My God for another week in Belgium and Germany, as well as a few more new clients that would be meeting us in Bruges after our train ride in the morning. I raced downstairs to find the rest of the group assembled in the lobby, with the exception of Paul and Cece. As has been my modus operandi for most of the trip, I once again opted for ignoring the current situation entirely, acting as though nothing had happened. While falling short of bliss, this approach had served me well in the past 2 weeks, and although the author of the current situation had shifted, I again once found myself in the unenviable situation of having to inform a hotel of a near catastrophe at the hands of one of our clients. I imagine that telling the stooge who occupied the front desk at night would only cause him to panic and call Madame Dampierre immediately. The possibilities of what would follow could only be negative. Either 1. Madame would come over immediately to personally deliver me a lasting tirade. 2. She would call the police, who would come over looking to arrest somebody for arson. Or 3. She would kick us all out of the hotel in a huff, forcing me to scramble and find 6 hotel rooms after 8 o'clock on a Friday night. Of course, the most likely scenario would include all 3 options. No, I decided that letting the hotel know now was really in nobody's best interest, so I was going to do my best to put it out of my mind for the remainder of the evening. And nothing says forget about your troubles like a glass of champagne. Or 12. Surprisingly, with the exception of my 2 amorous arsonists, everyone was waiting in the lobby patiently. I glanced briefly at Maggie, but there was no indication that she wanted to acknowledge what had transpired on her end either, which was perfectly fine with me. Then I saw Oh My God, who for some reason was once again wearing his tie, even though I had stressed that he did not need to wear it, which I said in part because it was the single ugliest tie I had ever seen. Maroon polyester with fat turquoise and yellow diagonal stripes. Yeah. This time, though, he was not wearing his dress shirt, which was white with blue, green, and pink vertical stripes. No, he was wearing the tie with his stained yellow cycling jersey. He was not wearing his dress pants either, a lovely polyester black and white checked, but not quite the type worn by chefs in restaurants, but close, but full-length cycling tights. I guess he found them classier than shorts. The tie, however, was still tied in what I would call the, oh my God, lack of style. The skinny part was about 3 inches longer than the fat part of the tie. For a moment, I thought he might be wearing the tie as some sort of protest, or perhaps mocking the idea of wearing ties in general. But frankly, I refused to grant him that much credit. What is far more likely is that he never heard my assurances that a tie was not necessary, and instead recalled the week in the Loire when I chastised him relentlessly that the tie was always required on the last night of a trip. He must have figured that the tie, and only the tie, were required, or, perhaps more likely, his nice pants and shirt had managed to escape the stench of his suitcase and made a quick getaway. They were likely now happily living with a nice homeless person. Yeah. And we were going to dinner. The tie, however, had a new feature. There was a rather large stain about the size of a golf ball. At first glance, it was close to a perfect circle, and it was precisely in the middle of the tie. In fact, it was of a shape and in a spot. If it had been my first time seeing the cravat, I might swear that it was part of the overall hideous design. But I had seen this particular tie around the same neck, albeit the previous time there was also a collared shirt employed, just 7 days prior without the added circular colorful feature. I did not stare at the stain long enough to be sure, but I was willing to bet a large sum of money that the mark in question was caused by a rather large dollop of ketchup. There was another addition to the tie that I had trouble understanding. It was incredibly wrinkled to the point that it made my wrinkled clothes appear freshly pressed. I had no idea that polyester could wrinkle that badly. But then there were a whole host of aspects to Oh My God that defied conventional wisdom. What made its appearance even more fascinating was that there was no way it could have happened in my presence, as the only other time I saw him wear the tie, there was never any ketchup on the table. I briefly wondered about his secret life on those nights when he was on his own for dinner. One or two nights out of every trip week, I got a night off when dinner was not included. But I quickly realized that I simply did not care. He gave me far too many reasons to pull my hair out when I was in his presence. Speculating about what he did while alone would likely cause a nervous breakdown. I thought about inquiring about the series of events that led to the staining of his already hideous tie, but I decided to save it for the dinner table. The others would no doubt wonder where C.C. and Paul were, and I could use the inquiry as a diversionary tactic. I motioned to the group that we were heading out, at which point Ellen pointed out that neither C.C. nor Paul had arrived yet, and suggested that we wait. She seemed sufficiently appeased, or hungry, to acquiesce once I pointed out that I had left directions to the hotel at the front desk, which was true, and that Paul and C.C. would join us a little later, which I desperately hoped not to be true. As we strolled out the courtyard and onto the bustling pedestrian-only street, I was dying to tell someone about what had just happened. The problem was, whom do I tell? Approaching Maggie would force me, or her, to address the other situation. Remember when you were buck naked in my bed and I left in a hurry once Paul burst into the room? Anne and Ellen were not an option, since, frankly, they would likely use the opportunity to complain about something themselves. Either how expensive everything was in France, or the relative discomfort they were feeling in their genitals from all the writing. And then there was Oh My God. I do not believe in absolutes, but never confide in anyone who is going to dinner wearing a stained, hideous polyester tie with sullied cycling clothes while reeking to high heaven might be a good start. I led the group out of the lobby and into the pre-dusk evening. Champagne is one of my favorite places to be during the summer months. Not only are there always bubbles in the air, but it stays light well past 10 o'clock. The city is about an hour's drive or train north of Paris, which itself is farther north than Fargo, North Dakota. I had decided on a relatively new restaurant in town, Version Originale, which was only about a 10-minute walk from the hotel. The style was French, with a bit of a modern twist, The wine list was loaded with some of my favorite bottles at reasonable prices, and even though I had only been a few times, it was already my favorite restaurant in town. It also did not hurt that I had a bit of a crush on one of the servers. Before I made the reservation a couple of hours before, I pondered for a while whether it was wise to take my motley crew to my favorite establishment in town, since the odds were fairly good that I would never be able to return. After some brief soul-searching, I remembered that the restaurant had one of my favorite bottles of wine on the menu, the Collioure Chardel Sèvres d'Autun, which was produced just outside of Épernay in the town of Villers-sous-Châtillon. They aged the still wine in large oak casks before making the final blend that then goes through the second fermentation in the bottle. Some of my favorite champagnes are aged in oak. Bollinger, Villemar, and Krug come to mind. There was a time that all champagnes were aged in oak, but today it is only a handful, as the vast majority of champagnes are aged in stainless steel. Even though I only recently discovered Collioure Chardel, I would rank it as among my favorite champagnes. The oak adds another dimension to champagne, a roundness that coats the mouth. They also tend to age better due to the micro-oxygenation that the oak provides. For a reason that I have yet to figure out, it is actually cheaper at the restaurant than it is from the winery. If it is going to be my last supper at Version Originale, at least I was going to be drinking my preferred elixir. We made our way across the pedestrian area of town and sauntered into the restaurant. The object of my latest desires, the person who served my group the last two times I was in town, seemed not to be there, which was actually a relief. I am not sure who said it originally, but Grandfather always used to tell me that you are judged by the quality of the company you keep. I scanned the table. I sure hope my grandfather was wrong. The dinner actually went rather well. In fact, it went off without so much as a hiccup. Maggie made no untoward advances. Anne and Ellen did not complain about a single thing, other than wondering why all champagne had bubbles, and Oh My God actually ate with utensils. I asked about the stain on his tie, and I was right. It was ketchup. He then let on that at every chance he would go to eat at McDonald's. After the first visit, he started wearing his tie since, as he put it, they are much classier than the McDonald's in Canada. In France, they serve beer. Just before we were served dessert, Paul and Cece entered the restaurant. Stumbled into would be more appropriate, as they both had been clearly drinking. As they approached the table, Cece tripped again. Paul caught her, and as he stood her upright, he put half his tongue in her mouth. Yeah. Shortly after the two sat down, Paul made an announcement. I just wanted to let you all know that this week has been the most fun I have had in some time. So earlier today, I called and signed Cece and I up for the next week in Belgium. No one really knew how to take that news, including me. Had the events of the last 3 hours or so not happened, I would have been delighted to have Paul on for another week. Given the other people currently on the trip, he was easily the least of my worries. After torching his bathroom, however, he jumped up several spots on that scale. Then there was Cece. As soon as Paul was done speaking, she turned as white as a sheet. Clearly, this was the first that she had heard of the plan. Paul, apparently oblivious, turned to get the attention of our server, and once he did, he commanded a bottle of your best champagne. Paul, clearly in a good mood, started laughing and leaned over to kiss Cece, sure that she was just as elated as he was. That did not go so well. Just after the 1996 Dom Pérignon Rosé was served, Cece stood up and sprinted out of the room. Paul scanned the table as if looking for some sort of clue as to what he should do next. Eventually, he got up and raced after her. A split second later, dessert was served. by the woman who I had lusted after for a few weeks now. Perfect. Within moments, Anne and Ellen started grilling me as to what was going on and how much another week would cost. Maggie, I think, grabbed my knee and, oh my God, started eating his île flottante with his hands. I grabbed the Dom and took a drink from the bottle. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. You'll find me on Twitter at ChrisKKArya, Pinterest, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Remember, it's Chris with a K. I'm always looking for fun stories to narrate, so if you're an author or writer or blogger with a story which fits the Does This Happen to You theme, please contact me or comment on my Podbean page. You can hire me to narrate and produce your book into an audiobook too, ready for upload to Audible. Want to hear more stories? Please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page. And next week, we'll have the continuation of the Oh My God series, episode 43.